Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
On this episode, we are going to talk all things Indian Wells. We are going to go over the draw on the men's and the women's side. Who do we think is going to make some noise? Maybe a lower-ranked player that's going to make some noise. Who do we think is going to win the tournament? And we're talking about our favorite moments as players at Indian Wells. Amazing tournament. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to Nothing Major. John Isner joined with Jack Sox, Stevie Johnson, Sam Querrey, and always with Charlie Fox and his team at Sift Creative. It is Indian Wells Week. It's upon us. Qualifying has already started, so we're going to go over and preview what we think is going to happen on both sides of the draw, the men's side, the women's side. And as I mentioned, the qualifying is going on. The place is buzzing already. The fans at this event are absolutely incredible. It's probably, in my mind, it's the best supported Masters 1000 event all year. And to kick off the 1000 season, I think it's absolutely perfect. Stevie Johnson was on site yesterday. And being a retired player, as I found out last year doing TV, it's not that glamorous, is the best way I could put it. So, Stevie, why don't you tell everyone about your experience yesterday on site during day one of qualifying?
Yeah, it was definitely different being there as a civilian to a certain extent. But a few things that had never crossed my mind going to that event was, you know, where to park, how to enter, I haven't thought about that since like probably 2009 or 10, you know, whatever. On my way over to the courts, I had this like realization that I can't bring this bag into the courts as a spectator. Like I had a bag because I was doing some stuff on site. Like, so I had, you know, a duffel bag, and you're not allowed to bring actual bags on site. They have to be like the clear, like small, you know, whatever.
Little women's purses, those
like,
clear ones.
Basically. So like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. I have a grounds pass. I have no parking pass.
It's unbelievable.
So like, I don't know what I'm doing. So like, I get on the way, I go, I'm going to call. I looked at the schedule. Gina Ball, who was somebody who trained Sam and I for a long time, I saw that she was going to be there with Chris Eubanks kind of at the time I needed to kind of be there. So I called her and I said, hey, can you like meet me like by the player's entrance? I can talk my way into the past the first like two or three security guards saying like, I'm still a player. I'm just going to get my credential, yada, yada, yada. So I ultimately get my bag to her so she can bring it in through the player's entrance. I'm like smuggling in, you know, contraband into the tournament. And then I'm like, okay, now where do I park? Lucky enough, I saw one of the ladies in the credential office. They were just like there and they're like, hey, like, come on in. We'll get you a parking pass for the day. So I was like so thankful. But then I had to still enter from like the north side of the facility through like the regular gate. Like walking off, I was like, I've never entered here once. Like I'm like so lost. I'm on the other side of the facility. Then I'm trying to meet Gina to get my bag back. And I can't get to the practice courts. Like I'm behind like the you know, like the pulleys and stuff. Like I have no credentials. So like I'm just standing there like calling. I was like, hey, like I need my bag. I got to go over to this, whatever. But I had some panic trying to figure out how to navigate the grounds without a player's credential. You know, as we know, we pretty much just enter that side gate, stay in the players area, stay on the grassy area, and like you don't go anywhere else. So it was a new experience for me, but it was less stressful being there. Once I got through the gates and figured out how to do that, it was a lot less stressful not worrying about how to practice and trying to get ready and all the extra stuff that goes into it. So then I just was able to enjoy it as a fan for a few hours, which was nice.
I think a lot of fans think that ex-players can just show up to these tournaments and just like get credentials and go in. Like, not the case. Maybe like Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Serena.
There's a few cases, yes.
You don't just get right in.
Yeah, and from a tournament's point of view, you got to put it into it somewhere. So fair enough. Last year I did Tennis Channel for Indian Wells, had a great time doing it. Sam, you're about to find out. Media parking is not quite player parking. So my experience last year, as you know, you pull up into the main, road, and you drive right past player parking to go to media parking, which is kind of far away on the grass field. I would always look in my mirror to see if the security were eyeing my car. And if they weren't, I'd pull into player parking really, really quickly. So I was able to pull that off like three or four times. The other three or four times I couldn't do it. So Sam, you're about to experience that. You make that long walk from that grassy parking lot way in the distance. And it's a bit demoralizing.
My parents live out here. I might just have my mom drop me off. Like I'm in fourth grade. They call when I need to be picked up.
That is a good idea.
So anyways, Indian Wells, it's starting really in a few days. The main draw is starting. Let's open it up to you guys. I always tell people, I don't know about you, with you, people ask me, what's the tennis event I should go to? First one I say is Indian Wells, because I think it's the best fan experience we have on tour. Do you guys agree? I think the tournament's perfect. It's perfectly rated. I definitely don't think it's overrated. Certainly not underrated. It's projected to be in my mind. Jack, what do you think about the Indian Wells experience? And did you always enjoy playing that event every year?
Absolutely, one of my favorite tournaments to play every year. I think, at least for me personally, when I stopped playing tennis, it was Indian Wells, Wimbledon, U.S. Open were probably my three the ones that I'm going to miss the most for sure. And I don't know, comfortable accommodations. I think we all probably either some of you guys have houses, families have houses out there, everything. I would always rent a house. John and I, you would always rent a house. You have a lot of off days as well in there. So, and we're all fans of golf. So that was another awesome perk of the event. If you're in the main draw, you got a car, you got a rental car for you. So it just made, life was very easy out there. It was the most peaceful and relaxing big tournament, I think, of the year. The scenery, the crowd, the energy there, some of my favorite matches of my career, probably at Indian Wells, singles and doubles. And I think it's, I completely agree with you, John. Anytime someone asks as a tennis fan, which event should we go to? Indian Wells is always the top of my list. Overall, by far one of my favorite tournaments of my career. And I think you guys would probably have to agree with that as well. But yeah, that's one I'll miss for sure.
Yeah. Everyone agrees. It's the outside the slams. It's the best tournament. You can't not have a smile on your face when you're like, when you're driving out here, you drive through LA, you like kind of go through these mountains and then like the sun is shining. It's like an oasis out here. It's awesome. The facilities are great. If you're a fan, it's the best place to go to. Talked about the rental car. Steve and I never got rental cars because we drove out here. Does everyone get one or just top 32 seed?
No. Every player gets a rental car, but if you were a seed, which is a seed 32, you got a BMW, like a really nice rental car, like a BMW SUV.
That's kind of nice. All right. Well, Steve and I wouldn't know. But anyway, yeah, if you're listening to this, you want to go to a tennis tournament, come to Indian Wells.
Was that one for you guys where like even practices, like I look forward to practicing there for whatever reason. Like I feel like they were always fun practices and you look into the mountains and the pond, I don't know, just like.
Every practice court's like its own little stadium, basically.
Yeah, and the people, fans are watching every time. Ball always felt great out there. Love that tournament.
Yeah, it's the absolute best. I mean, the weather can be a bit temperamental in the terms of it can be super hot during the day. It's the desert, right? And then at night, it can turn super cold or it can be ridiculously windy sometimes. You guys remember that match that Nadal played Alcaraz? I think it was in the semifinals. Two or three years ago, and how windy it was. It just made for like really horrible tennis. But typically the weather is amazing. Do y'all think it's the fifth slam? I don't. People like to call Indian Wells the fifth slam. What's the fifth slam then?
You have to pick outside of the majors. You have to pick one. That's the
if you have, if I okay. You have if to. I have
this is the fifth slam.
If I have to pick one, yes, but I would say it's
Indian Wells or it's the Atlanta Open for John. He's won it 9 times.
No.
Therefore, if you had to win any tournament outside of a major, if it's this one, it's the fifth slam.
It's the fifth slam.
It's Miami. You want to win Miami.
Shut up, dude.
You take home more money. I'm being dead serious. You take home more money in Miami. You don't get
it's
taxed.
It's the same amount of money.
No, it's not.
Yeah, there's taxes.
Because you're taxing, no taxes in Florida. All right, tomato, tomato.
No, it's not tomato, tomato. It's not
tomato,
at all.
Tomato. On the fact sheet, it's the same amount of money.
Sam,
most people, you pull players in the top 100, the overwhelming majority would rather win Indian Wells over Miami.
Nope. It's Miami. Yep. It's $1.2 million. Would you rather make $1.2 million in California or Florida?
Of course, Florida.
Thank you.
When you're old and gray, even though you already are you going to want like Indian Wells? Are you going to want Indian Wells on your resume or Miami? I would much rather have Indian Wells on my resume.
If the Australian Open offered an extra $250,000 more than the U.S. Open to win it, would you rather win the Australian Open?
John only says this because he's won Miami.
I love Indian Wells.
Win Indian Wells over Miami. I promise you.
No, I wouldn't.
Do you think the Europeans would rather win Indian Wells over like Madrid?
No. I think they want to win Madrid.
I don't think so. I still think the Europeans want to win Indian Wells over like Madrid.
I feel like
Rome
most of the European guys dislike Indian Wells because like, you know, dinners are closed early. There's not like that fun, like exciting feel around the city like many of the other Master Series. The four of us, very comfortable, doing like a nice 6 o'clock dinner at LG Steakhouse. Not like the 9:30, you know, tip to go out to dinner, you know. So
I think the Euros like it in Indian Wells.
I think Bear C is the fifth slam.
Stop it.
Oh, but Sam, I think they you know, the Europeans, winning Indian Wells is a pretty big deal. The reason why it's probably more prestigious in Miami, no doubt, is like later on in Roger's career and Novak's career, I was still going to Rafa, they would always play Indian Wells and seem to not play Miami. So Miami would lose a bit of luster because the megastars weren't playing Miami.
It's the fifth slam.
It's an amazing tournament for fans, tennis fans that have never, you know, seen, you know, tennis up close and personal. That's the one to go to. There's so much room. It's so easy to get around in Indian Wells. That's what the players enjoy it so much because we have our own rental cars. It's easy to drive around there. The fans love it. There's so much room around there. The site is monstrous. Courts everywhere. They have a Nobu on Stadium 2, which in my mind, Stadium 2 is my favorite court. What about you guys? Jack, what's your favorite court? Like, where's the court you felt most comfortable on in Indian Wells?
The atmosphere and the crowd in Stadium 2, for some doubles was packed, singles was packed. They put some incredible, like, marquee matches over there. Stadium 2 for me was one of my favorite courts in tennis in general. I like kind of the other, like, side stadiums too, 3, 4, like, very like cozy atmospheres. Some of the sickest doubles matches atmospheres over there on the side stadiums, standing room only, and fans were super into it. I think that's another point there was, as I guess, is we all played a lot of doubles, but for some good doubles results there, I feel like the fans really appreciate the doubles of that tournament as well, along with the singles. So no matter what match you're playing at any time, I feel like the place was packed. And Stadium 2 is one of the best courts in tennis.
Yeah, you get to, for the fans that don't know, when you have a match on Stadium 2, singles or doubles, you go outside the locker room and you get driven in these Cadillac Escalades. It's kind of because Stadium 2 is far away from the locker room. And they drive you and they wind you around the whole complex and they park you up at the loading garage right behind Stadium 2. I always really enjoyed that car ride with you, Jack, before a doubles match on Stadium 2. I was like, well, last thing we were doing, zero strategy, obviously. It's like, you know, Jack was booking a flight one time in the car. There's no strategy going. Of course, we won because Jack was ridiculous. Stevie, Sam, you guys sort of the hometown boys for this tournament. And obviously, Sam, like the LA Open was your hometown tournament. Doesn't exist anymore because you put it out of business. Stevie, you retired at Indian Wells last year. Did you always feel like this was your hometown tournament? And did you feel extra pressure to perform well in Indian Wells?
Indian Wells for me was always my favorite tournament. It was what I considered home. I went out there a lot as a kid. So for me, it was a special, special place. And that's kind of somewhere where I always wanted to kind of stop. And obviously, once you get towards that point in your career where that becomes a possibility, that's exactly where I wanted to be. So I was always very fortunate. A lot of friends, a lot of family members got to come out because there's just different. They all follow your results or they all kind of see how it goes. But to be able to drive out there, see you play live, it, you know, having your grandparents out there, it's just a fun atmosphere. I really enjoyed it. If I could play that tournament, just that one every year, I would sign up for it in a heartbeat. Like I would lose, oh no, get embarrassed, no problem. I would enjoy that process just because I love that event so much. So for me, there really is not a better event to go to. I love the slams, but Indian Wells was always my favorite week, 10 days, 2 weeks of the year. There's no doubt about that.
My first ever year I played this, I was in high school. I got a wild card. My parents happened to have a house in the desert right like across the street from the stadium. And probably 30 kids from my high school came down to watch my first round match. And we all stayed at my parents, slept on the floor. You get one pillow, sofas, couches. And then I played my first round match. And then like my friends, you know, back in the day, like tickets were a little easier. Like one person goes in and then comes back out with like three tickets and like three more come in. They're like kind of like finagling their way into the stadium, but literally had like 25 kids from my high school the first year I played this, all staying in like one roof here. And my parents like shuttling them over back and forth. It was so much fun.
That's unbelievable.
Did you sleep on the floor, Sam?
No, would have though. I didn't care. I mean,
I know you would have.
Yeah, I would have been.
That's
totally
our, that's our point about you. Yeah. Like, it doesn't bother you. You're happy to sleep on the floor. The Samurais. Give us the name of your fan club, dude.
Those are literally my like best friends from high school. So the first like few years I was on tour when I was like 18, 19, 20, they were still in school. So they could kind of come to some tournaments. Look at that. They were intense. They'd take their shirts off.
That's Ellis right there in the middle. But yeah, I saw Wes earlier, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So they would come Indian Wells and the LA tournament. They came to US Open a couple of times. But yeah, they would come down here in full force. They were like a little army.
They're unbelievable.
It was fun. Then ultimately they got jobs and had to move on with their life. But it was great. That first year was the best year for me.
I mean, the Samurais were a thing. Like you didn't want to play Sam Querrey with the Samurais in the crowd.
At the LA Open, I mean, there would be like 100 of them. It was just in my high school. My high school would come.
I know. It was a thing.
Just looking to fight, too.
Jack, we're going to end with this, but Jack, I want to start with you. Favorite Indian Wells memory? There's one answer. It's winning doubles with me, right?
Well, I mean, do we have two shields there?
Two? Twice? That's right.
So we have double shield there. Those honestly, like you said, the car rides out to stadium two. Some of our atmospheres on stadium two. Some of the shots that we hit, some of the matches that we played were just honestly incredible. Like even like stadium five against like Mahut and somebody, Roger Vassell. And I like some of those matches were just a blast. So doubles for sure, the double shield there. Shield with Voschik as well 1 year, which was fun. Singles was the 2017 run, absolutely, making my first semis of a Masters, getting to play Roger in the semis. Stadium one, I mean, packed house and great second set, had chances, lost in second in a breaker. But yeah, that run that year was sick. Yeah, it was every match was fun. When you're feeling good out there, there's not a better feeling. I feel like you feel like you can do anything with the ball. And I love those courts for my game, the heavy kicks and just kind of big forehands. It was a slower, grittier court. So, I was playing well that year, but honestly, every year out there was a blast. But yeah, double shield and doubles and 2017 run in singles got to be the best memories for sure.
Mine, I would say it's kind of what Jack said. It's playing doubles. This is like the one tournament where all the players play doubles. Cause they come to Indian Wells. If you do lose in singles, you've got like 2 weeks before Miami starts. So therefore like all the players play doubles. There's a day off in between events. And so like playing doubles out on like stadium, like 3, 4, 5, whether that's with like John or Stevie or whoever, it's packed every time. And those are my like favorite memories from this event.
For me, not to get serious here, but it was the 2017, actually when I lost to Federer on center court. For me, that was kind of the last place that my dad got to watch me play tennis. So and that was a fun match for me. I mean, I lost 6-6, had some chances, but just a cool memory for me, you know, that has very, you know, special meaning to me in my heart. So that was my favorite memory of Indian Wells for sure.
John, can I guess yours real quick?
You go ahead.
It's the year you made finals of singles and doubles back to back.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think about it, I have a lot of really good memories there. Yeah, it's 2012. I made the finals of singles and doubles. You can imagine how, like, good you're feeling. But as you guys talked about, because the tournament's, like, it's 10 days long, right? And so you're not like, completely worn out, because, like, you get a lot of days off if you keep winning in singles. And sometimes those days off were just a simple doubles match. And those are the best days ever. You show up to the court, there's no pressure. You don't have to, you know, when you're warming up for the doubles match, you don't feel the pressure, the angst, the butterflies that you have before a singles match. So, yeah, anytime that I found myself, like, doing pretty well in singles and doubles, it was just, yeah, amazing. Every, as you guys mentioned, every doubles match on Stadium 3, 4, and 5, and Stadium 2, standing room only. Like, you can't beat that. And so the doubles in Indian Wells is some of the most fun I think I've ever had playing tennis. And all the top singles guys typically play doubles. Rafa would always play doubles. Federer played doubles there a lot. Have you guys seen the entry list for doubles this year? I don't know the big name singles guys that are playing, but the fans appreciate the fact that the megastars that our sport has on the men's and the women's side on the singles, they all play doubles, and that's what makes this tournament really, really special.
Doubles draw not out yet, but I'm assuming a lot of the top players will play just like you mentioned they always do.
Sam, remember that time you and I were playing and we were both still in singles. So we're on the doubles court. We're playing Nestor and Mirny. And we're like in full flight because we're just super loosey-goosey out there and we're winning. And Mirny is Nestor. This is Nestor, like 39, 40 years old, Nestor. Sam's on the ad side and he tells me, he goes, I'm just going to guess T. I think Mirny's going to serve T. I'm just going to hit a forehand. So Nestor's in the eye. Mirny serves T and you hit a forehand. Return as hard as I've, and Nestor comes up out of the eye and you hit him in the neck.
It was like a Jack Sock forehand. you guys are giving me crap,
like,
for hitting,
like,
people.
Like, as soon as he got up, the ball just got him, like, just in the, like the jugular,
dude. In the net.
Yeah, like, yeah. A dark in the net. And I was just like, oh my God. And like, but
Remember this tournament maybe like 8 years ago? Larry Ellison was getting, if you won the singles and the doubles, yes, $1 million bonus. And you started thinking about it. You'd be like in the second round of either one. You're like, there's a chance. There's a chance. Then you make like third round of each. And you're like, you're still so far away from it. But in the back of your head, you started to believe. You're like, you know what? Like, I think I could do this.
I think at one point he tried to make it like a ridiculous $3 million bonus. And the tour said no.
Yeah, I know.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
They said no because obviously Miami can't offer that, right? So it's like it makes Miami look a little – little in a sense. So
yeah,
why Indian Wells is the better tournament.
The tournament owner is pretty wealthy, you could say. So anyways, it's a fantastic tournament and we're all looking forward to watching it. Stevie, Sam, you guys can be out there all week. I miss it. We all miss it. Indian Wells is the best. All right. How about worst memory? If you have any, we've been, you know, singing Indian Wells' praises this whole time, but do you guys have any horrible memories from Indian Wells? Jack, do you?
I mean, I was so young. I think it was my first Indian Wells, but just I lost to Tim Smiechek on Stadium 1 first round back in like 2012, which he's obviously, we all know him well, but I think at the time I thought that could be pretty comfortable match. Ended up losing, which started out my Indian Wells career on a sour note, and then improved from there. But I guess, I mean, honestly, that's not even a bad memory. I was still young, got a wild card in, got to play it for the first time. So honestly, probably our doubles loss a few years ago to Bopana and Ebden in the semis. We should have won it again that year. And we had 10 break points and I think I took most of them and couldn't convert one. So yeah, I still lose sleep over that. Sorry, big fella.
Yeah. You definitely take, most of the break points.
Did you ever take one deuce point, John?
Maybe if we were up like a break, okay, or something.
Not like,
but
an
the only time
one
I get a break point is a 15-40. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Because Jack has a love 40.
John 30,
was 40.
A good returner, maybe even better than doubles. I know everyone like rips you for your returns. You're a good doubles returner. I know.
Inside out backhand was so nasty.
Yeah,
just, you know, don't go there.
Don't go there. That was the word on the street. Don't go to Dizzer's backhand.
No go zone.
Stevie, Sam, you guys have any tough memories from Indian Wells?
I played Raonic once where if I won, I was going to get top 10, and I knew that.
I remember that.
I lost in I lost in three sets. And Raonic, as you guys know, like, I don't know what he was really good. It wasn't like I played a guy ranked 70 in the world to get in the top 10. Lost in three sets, but it wasn't, I mean, don't lose sleep over it. It wasn't like the worst memory or anything, but that was a little tough.
Yeah, I think for me, the only thing that was a bit troubling for me out of Indian Wells was if you played late and you lost, and I would inevitably stop at In and Out on the way back to the house and it was closed. That's what really kicked me in the butt, is when I couldn't get in and out after a loss. Didn't care about losing. I mean,
they stay open until midnight or something?
Yeah, but like you'd play like a late Indian Wells match. You get done at like 11 or whatever. You shower, stretch, and like you get out there. You're like, oh, it's 12:15. Like I just missed it. Like I got to go to IHOP now. And it's like.
Stevie turned into such a little fatso if he lost the match.
Oh, dude.
Like little fat boy just like switch turned on.
That's look, we all have to cope with our losses certain ways. I ate my losses. Usually, you know, 12, 18 hours after I'd kind of get over it, but I wouldn't get in the way of myself and any food in front of me after a loss, that's for sure.
All right, but we're going to talk big picture 2025 field at Indian Wells this year. We'll start with the defending champ, Carlos Alcaraz. Is he the man to beat again this year at Indian Wells? Sam, what do you think?
There isn't one man to beat this year at Indian Wells. Like, because Sinner's not here, Alcaraz's year is like so-so, Djokovic so-so, the number one seed Zverev coming off three bad weeks in a row. This is just a completely open field. Anyone can win this thing. There is like, I don't have odds in front of me, but there's not one favorite in my opinion right now for the men's winner of Indian Wells.
Jack, what do you think?
Couldn't agree more, really. I think obviously if the results were maybe different for some of those top guys coming into this, you could tilt the meter, you know, one direction towards somebody, but no one like stands out as like he's gonna have to get beat at some point. I don't see that. So I think there's a handful of guys that could win the tournament for sure.
There's a lot of guys that are unhealthy at the moment that you would think have a good chance. So in a first time in a long time, I think the field is like there's 20 to 30 guys that could conceivably win this tournament, which is kind of outlandish to think over the last like 15, 20 years that number could be that high. So it's exciting because everybody should wake up, you know, tomorrow or on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, when they play their first round and think, I have a chance to win this tournament if I play well, you know, do all the right things. So it's going to be fun for the game of tennis. There's a lot of young, exciting guys. I think Indian Wells and the fans will really enjoy watching on some of those smaller outside courts.
I completely disagree with all of you guys. I think Alcaraz is the overwhelming favorite to win this event. He's won it back-to-back years. The surface that the tournament used to be on like favors him like considerably. I hear there's a bit of a surface change this year, and I'm going to go to you, Stevie, before I finish my point there, because you hit on the courts for a little bit yesterday. But I think Alcaraz is the overwhelming favorite. He seems to be so comfortable there. He was completely dominant last year. Again, the surface has changed so that maybe he's not as big of a favorite as he would be on the old surface, but I think he's the number one guy to beat, and I think he's going to win the tournament again. That's my call. But Stevie, how are the courts actually playing, like compared to years past?
Yeah, they feel, you know, obviously I was hit on one of the outside kind of practice courts. It was less gritty than usual, so it's a little quicker. The Indian Wells is like, as just we all know as players, you kind of walk out there, like you can see, like it's like the court is rough, like it's kind of like sandpapery when you step out there. And this year just didn't feel that way. I mean, the ball is still jumping. We're still in the desert. And then, you know, the first week to the second week, I think we'll play a lot different because we have daylight savings time. So like it'll be lighter later. It'll get warmer in the second week. So for one of those reasons or the other, they decided to switch the provider for the resurfacing of the courts. So the better players are going to be fine on the surface. It doesn't matter what the surface is. But I just feel as if the balls weren't kind of getting as fluffy as they were in years past, where it was almost impossible in games 7, 8, 9 to hit winners and to use like your heavy kick serve or heavy forehand to kind of get the ball up and out of the strike zone. And that's from a very casual average player at this point, you know, point of view.
John, would you take Alcaraz over the field if you had to bet?
Yeah, I will. I just think it's so hard in this tournament specifically. Now, this again, this is with the old surface. I don't know how much of a speed difference there is. It's so hard to play offense on this guy. He's everywhere. You can't hit winners on him. He can defend so well on that center court, which he's going to play all of his matches on. So, yes, I'm going to take Alcaraz over the field.
All right. Has there ever been a Zverev, the number one seed, like a number one seed that like so few people probably have him penciled in winning the tournament?
I mean, he could play Kecmanovic or Griegspor like in his first match, like two guys that just missed being seeded. And then he would play Petri Perikard, who could just serve him off the court. Like he could, like he has that ability. I mean, I'm not saying that like he will, but, and then he'll play, you know,
soon to be top 10 Mahatch.
Yeah. He played Mahatch or Francis. Like it's a tough draw. Like,
Jack, I don't know if you saw, a lot of people were siding with me and Isner in the comments about like Mahatch being top 10.
That's fine. Very well could be. I think he'll reach 11 and then never get to 10.
he's going to be Sam Querrey. I mean, Carlos has a decently tough draw as well, potentially with Shapovalov in the third round, who's playing extremely well. But again, like I just think Carlos at Indian Wells, he's a different animal.
Can I tell you guys one of my biggest pet peeves? Not that people can see this. In our chat right now, we have like Alcaraz's path to the finals. And all the slams do this and the tournaments do. They're like, Novak's path to the finals. They're like previewing who they could play in the semis and finals. I hate when tournaments do that. It never rocks up perfectly like that. I know they're just doing like the high seeds, but like that's one of my biggest pet peeves that tournaments do. Okay, that's all I got.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Very much with you.
We talked about how, like, for all four of us, we had a buddy or something that would, like, yeah, I like your draw. And really, we talk about, like, that's the absolute worst. That's what every pundit does when these big tournaments are about to start. All right, let's go to Novak Djokovic, the Novak Djokovic who not many people are talking about in his only action since the Australian Open. He lost in the first round at Doha to Berrettini, like pretty comfortably. So he's coming into this tournament off of that hamstring injury at the Australian Open in the semifinals, and then off of a first round loss against Berrettini. But he's coming in tow with Andy Murray again. So it was announced that Andy Murray is going to be with him at Indian Wells and Miami. What do y'all think? Sam, I want to start with you. What do y'all think about Djokovic, these two tournaments, and what do y'all think about Murray, I guess, continuing to partner with him? Obviously, we understand he's maybe going to be with him at the Slams, but to come to these tournaments with him as well.
Big commitment for Murray to come over here to the States for like a month. That partnership aside, I don't think has much bearing on Novak's results. I like Novak in this tournament to make a run. I don't think he's played this tournament in like a long time. It's his first time here in like a lot of years, right?
He played it last year.
Take out last year, minus last year.
Last year, he
hasn't played this tournament in a year. So that's why I like him coming to this. Look, he hasn't played it a lot. I think he wants to like show the people here that like he's got a run left in him at Indian Wells. He did miss it for like 5 or 6 years. And so I think he's like excited to be here. I like Novak. I've got him penciled into the semifinals. And that's with Murray here or not here with him.
Jack, what do you think about Novak in Indian Wells?
Yeah, I think if I know it's been 365 days, so he's ready to prove a point, as Sam said. I think if this surface change is true and accurate, and the courts are a little bit quicker, that makes me want to bet on him more. Because then when he plays, like if he plays, you know, an Alcaraz or Kat, some of these guys that hit heavy balls that run down everything, I think the faster the court for him, the better he can neutralize and play a little more offense, which he's going to have to against these young bucks out there. So yeah, if that's true, then I like Novak to make a run as well. I agree with Sam on that.
I was going to say, you know, one of our co-hosts said it best a few months ago. This is a vibes play once again. Keep Murray in the box. Keep Novak happy. If he's happy, he's going to win. And I think if he does well here, then he skips, you know, maybe Miami, maybe Monte Carlo. Like, you know, like if he gets one big tournament under his belt, that just kind of sets him up to then skip until whatever he wants to then get ready for the French. Like the only thing circled on his calendar has got to be the French Open, Wimbledon, and the US Open the rest of the year. How do I prepare best for that? And he feels that Indian Wells is going to be the start of that kind of for him on that trajectory. That's where he wants to go. But vibes play, as Jack Sock once said, is pretty much it for me on that one.
But I think, Sam, to your point, obviously he did play last year, but prior to that, he didn't play it for – certainly didn't play it in 2020, in 21, and
– maybe not 22, maybe not 23.
Long time coming. He made his return last year, but he had a crazy loss to Luca Nardi, who was a qualifier last year, and he looked all out of sorts, Novak did, in that loss last year. I'm with you guys. I think he's going to be – a force there, and I think we could see him. He's not a top four seed, we know that, but I think we'll see him in the semifinals, and he's gonna give himself a good chance to do well. So that's one to look for. Novak is back in Indian Wells and potentially Miami with Andy Murray on the bag. All right, outside of the top eight seeds on the men's side, pick three players that you guys think will make, I guess, you don't have to go any like super accurate predictions, but three players outside the top eight seeds that you guys think will make some noise. Jack, I want to start with you on that one.
I feel like I've been riding and dying with this guy all year. Our fellow, we had guest that was on here, Tommy Paul. Again, I just feel like he's
look
threat.
Like a genius when he pops and like wins one of these.
Well, I just, the guy, he's unbelievable at tennis. He's, I feel like I say it every week on here. We're doing predictions. He's going to be a tough out against anybody he plays at all times. He's the fittest guy out there, if not one of the fittest guys out there, one of the fastest dudes playing, obviously has a ton of confidence. So I'm going to have definitely have Tommy in there. I mean, I'm back to back with Americans. I mean, Ben Shelton, especially if the courts are bouncy and fast, his serve is going to be lethal. He's going to have all the crowd support in general. So
you could take two because I have four.
Definitely not Machock, so I'll let you guys take him. So yeah, I'll let you go. I'm going to go with those two, and then you guys go from there.
All right, I got the hottie bracket winner, Berrettini. I think he's going to make a run here. Weather's good, shirt off a lot in practice. I like full of confidence after winning our hottie bracket. Riley Opelka, I like big servers out here. Like the ball bounces high. I think he's, assuming he's healthy, I like that. And then I'm taking four because Jack only had two. Joao Fonseca, my favorite player. I think he's had a couple weeks now to regroup, settle in. And Sebastian Korda. Korda's like my Tommy Paul for Jack. I think Korda's so good. He is so good. And I'm just waiting for him to like make a run to like one of the finals of these.
I'm going to go with Ben Shelton. I think he's got a good little section of the draw. I will go with Arthur Fies. I think he could just hit through anyone out here. I mean, if he gets hot, the guy is an animal. And then lastly, I'll take Felix Auger-Aliassime because he'll probably get 3 to 4 walkovers.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
The Draper matchup's perfect for him. That dude's not scared to pull out.
I mean, Felix, we all know this, like one of the nicest guys. Like, it's not like, but it's amazing what has happened, like just in these tournaments. And we obviously just remember him, but it's another chance. He could just get a couple walkovers and march his way into like a quarterfinals playing like 1.5 sets.
Yeah. Bye to play qualifier, walkover, then like 3-2 default. And you're like, wow, he's in the quarters?
Yeah. Just feeling fresh once again.
Yeah. I'm with y'all. I like Ben Shelton. I like the conditions for his game. I think Brandon Nakashima can do some damage as well. He got the 32nd seed, and he got a pretty friendly draw, potentially playing Rublev in the third round. I think that's one that Nakashima can win. And then apart from that, I'll go with someone like, I think Hubie Hurkacz, who we haven't heard from really at all this year. I think he could, look, the air's thin. If his serve is on and he's healthy, he could do some serious damage there. So those are my three, Ben Shelton, Brandon Nakashima, Hubie Hurkacz, guys outside the top eight that I think will make some noise. And random, but I don't know if you guys remember this, but this must have been like 8 years ago. You remember Viktor Troitsky, right? This Serbian guy?
Yeah.
Remember he was seeded one year?
Yeah.
And so if you're for those who don't know, if you're seeded, you have a first round bye. You're automatically into the second round. So
he was ranked at the time, just to clarify your story. He was ranked 35. Three players pulled out for him to even get seeded, first of all.
Is that true? I didn't even know that. Okay, so he got the last seed in Indian Wells. So he gets a bye, which is huge. It's a huge deal. You got two more days to just chill out, whatever. And then whoever he was supposed to play in the second round did not take the court. So automatically into the third round. And his third round opponent played like one or two games. So he was into the round of 16 after – we need to look this up. We need to verify that how many games he actually played. Having played like two games in the round of 16.
I want to say it was Thomas Burdich.
Possibly, yeah. But I just remember like being so annoyed that he was in the round of 16 and he played two games over the span of like 8 days.
I remember that.
So that can happen. Here it is. His first match, second round, he played Pablo Cuevas, 1-0, retire. So he played one game, ended the round of 32. And then Davydenko withdrew before, so no match in the round of 32. So he's into the round of 16. And then he got absolutely destroyed by Burdich, 1-3.
He won five games the entire tournament, made fourth round.
Yes. Yes.
Does he go home and be like, great, hey, great, if you're his coach, hey, great week, man. Great week. Fourth round, like.
Seeds can also pull out before their first match. Lucky losers can get in to that second round spot, which always annoyed me. What did y'all think about that when a lucky loser would lose in qualifying and take a seeded player's spot? I feel like there's a way to remedy that. You got to be able to, if not all the first round matches have been completed, you put the highest ranked player who wasn't seeded. There's got to be a way to do that. But putting them into the second round. All right, which American's going to go the furthest? We'll do men and the women here. Okay, Stevie, start with you. Which American is going to go the furthest?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say a healthy Taylor Fritz finds his way at the back end of the tournament. I think he's the last American standing. And on the women's side, I think I'm going to go with the hot player after an 0-0 victory, Emma Navarro. I mean, if you're not full of confidence after that,
I'm going to double down, as I'm sure Sam's going to take Sebi. I'm going to go with Tommy Paul as the American to go the furthest. I actually like, I'm going to annoy Sam here with his path to whatever round he gets to, but even though I don't like that as well. But yeah, I think he's got a favorable section of the draw. I think, if he makes it to like a Medvedev, I don't see why he can't win that. And then Casper is his biggest seed in that section. I think Tommy's going to go on a run, and then hate to do it, but I'm going to have to side with Stevie. I would like to pick somebody different, but Emma Navarro for me is going to be the last American woman standing as well.
All right, on the men, I'm going Fritzy. I like his draw. I think he's healthy. Assuming he's healthy, he's going to be good. On the women, I'm going Pegula, also off a title, but that's because in the top half, Coco Gauff, Emma Navarro, Madison Keys, literally all in the same section. Like, you just, like, you want to pick them, but they're just going to ultimately knock each other out.
I'm going to go Ben Shelton, and I'm going to echo your sentiment, Sam. Jessie Pegula. I think she's going to do it. I think if talk about the court surface change. If they are a bit faster, that's going to suit her game very, very well. So, Ben Shelton, I like his draw, and as Sam mentioned, we like Jessie's draw, and she's off of a title as well. So I think the American prospects, I think we all believe this on both sides, men and women, are very, very strong this year in Indian Wells. But let's now pick our champions on both sides, and I'm going to start. We all know who I'm picking as a champion. Carlos Alcaraz. And then I'll go ahead and say Jessie Pegula again, because what you pointed out, Sam, about the draw. She could be able to make her way through it easier, so have less wear and tear on herself as she gets to the final. So I'll go with Alcaraz and Pegula.
I'm going with Pegula. I like Pegula too. The man, this is like a little out there. Medvedev. He's been playing like absolute crap all year. I think no one's talking about him. We said it earlier. I feel like this draw is open to everyone. I feel like Medvedev is just going to weasel his way to a tournament victory.
On the women's side, I'm just going to stick with Emma Navarro because she's going to be the last American standing. So I think she's going to be the last one standing. On the men's side, there's a lot of different directions you can go. I want to take Carlos, but I'm going to go off the beaten path. I'm going to go Casper Ruud. He's kind of flying under the radar, hard court. You know, I think he was playing well in Mexico before he got some issues. I'm going to take him. He's got a favorable draw, you know, to get through his quarter. And then, you know, once you get to the semis, it's time to go out and compete.
Yeah, I'm going to go WTA. I'm going to go with Qinwang Zhang. And then I'm going to go, not off the beat, I'm going to go with Novak to win Indian Wells.
A player that we did not mention on the men's side, and because he's seeded eight, If he was a 9 seed, he would have been my number one player outside the top 8 to make noise. It's Tsitsipas.
Remember when Rublev won Doha and then John picked him to win Dubai and he lost? And now Tsitsipas won Dubai and now John's picking him to win Indian Wells? That's just like...
He's like Drake betting on sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like Mr. Obvious over here.
It's not a back-to-back. It's like Doha finished on Sunday and he had to play on Tuesday, right? So like... Stefanos has 8 days to first, you know, after he won in Dubai.
Did he play a tournament since?
It doesn't matter. I'm saying he has 8 days to rest.
So it'll be back-to-back titles, would it not? Am I off on this?
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, good point, Stevie. If he wins this, will the headline read back-to-back titles?
It probably will.
It probably will.
It's not a back-to-back in the terms of the tournament ended on Sunday and he's got to play again on Tuesday.
If a guy wins a tournament, Isner automatically thinks he's going to win the next tournament. That's what happens.
Indian Wells trivia question to close out the pod. And here's the question. Which two men are tied for the most Indian Wells titles? We're all going to write down our answers on our phones and then reveal.
I'm sorry. I wrote too big. I got to delete it.
Would you write Nishikori twice?
No.
Would you write Mahach and Korda?
What? No. How do I go backwards?
I have Fed and Novak.
I have Fed and Pete Sampras.
I have Fed and Agassi.
I have Fed and Novak as well.
Fed and Novak. Okay, so Jack and Sam with Fed and Novak. Stevie with Fed and Sampras. I took Fed and Agassi. I think Federer is definitely one of the answers.
I feel like Fed's one of them.
Dang. Fed and Novak. Let's go, Jack.
Oh, nice, dude.
Obvious answer is... typically the answer. Yeah. So
what did Pete ever win it? I mean,
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I know, but like, I feel like he.
Sam, Stevie, where are we at with the Olive Garden gift card to the hottie champ Berrettini and possibly a trophy presentation? Is that going to be in the cards at Indian Wells?
We have the trophy. I'm in Indian Wells now. Stevie's going to be out here in a couple days. We're going to find Berrettini and give it to him. The tournament's not letting us like do video on site. But I think we can just get a photo. So Stevie and I will hunt him down at the site. We'll see when they put everyone's like practice schedule up. Well, I'll just find out when Berrettini's practicing. Stevie and I will go find him on the court. We're going to give him the trophy and have him take a picture. I mean, he knows he won the hottie bracket. Like we got to have the photo.
The whole tour knows, dude. Like it's the buzz around town.
Please get an Olive Garden gift card. That would be like chef's.
Yes, I'm going to get the Olive Garden gift card. I'll go get it right now, actually.
Like for $20.
Not 15.
For 15?
15. $5.
You got to have him enjoy a meal with his team, you know, after a title. We know how it goes.
I think I can get it. I might print it out online, not even get the card. Have to walk around with a piece of paper. I'm also, when I'm on the ground, I'm going to try to get some gossip. If on Monday, if people want Gossip Corner, let me know. I'm going to try to get gossip while I'm doing some field work on the grounds at Indian Wells.
Perfect.
I don't know what kind of gossip, but just gossip.
So that's it for this episode of Nothing Major. We look forward to seeing you guys. Anyway, so we actually have a website. It's something I didn't even realize we had until a few weeks ago, but we do. And it's nothingmajorshow.com. So as well as how you guys can keep up with us on social, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you can keep up with us on nothingmajorshow.com. So submit some questions, some suggestions for the name of our Monday show on our website, which again is nothingmajorshow.com. We want to get that up and running and get some traffic. So please go to there and submit any questions or comments or reviews you have for us on our website. Thanks a lot.